From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Alan Young. Since the presidential election, Governor Gavin Newsom has been on a California Jobs First tour of conservative areas across the state, part of a broader effort to reconnect with working-class voters where Democrats have increasingly struggled. On December 10th, Newsom visited Colusa to pitch his job creation agenda, but Assembly Republican leader James Gallagher, who represents the area, quickly pushed back. Gallagher criticized the governor's record on the growing regulatory burden on small businesses and farmers, the decade-long delay of the site's reservoir project, and skyrocketing electricity costs. Today, Assemblymember Gallagher joins us to elaborate on those concerns. His assembly district spans the counties of Butte, Glenn, Placer, Sutter, Tehama, and Yuba. Republican Leader Gallagher, it's great to meet you. Welcome to Insight.
Yeah, good to be with you.
Let's start with the news of the day. During a stop at Shasta College in Redding yesterday, Governor Newsom laid out a plan to create more job opportunities for people without college degrees. The governor's plan includes doubling the number of state jobs that do not require a college degree and helping veterans turn their military service into college credit. I recognize it's early and we may not know all the details of the plan, but I'm curious, what's your initial take on the governor's so-called California Master Plan for Career Education?
Well, one is not his plan. And this is one of the problems is Gavin likes to go around showcasing things that this is something that's been in the works for a long time. It's involved local stakeholders. We in the legislature about seven years ago, really put a focus and put funding into career technical education. It was a turning point where there had been a lot of focus on four-year universities and preparing kids for college. Jordan Cunningham on the Republican side, Patrick O'Donnell on the Democratic side, really worked together to help, create this new construct where we'd really focus on career technical education. Now, the governor, as the executive, has, been putting together some of the implementations of this policy, but it's not his policy. But he sure likes to take credit for it.
So you're saying this is a longtime bipartisan plan. Your Republican colleague, State Assembly Member Heather Hadwick of Grass Valley, appeared beside the governor on Monday to endorse the plan. Do you support her decision to appear with Governor Newsom?
Well, look, man, I think Gavin Newsom, here's the problem. He went to Colusa. He went to Shasta. He did not actually reach out to the elected officials there. And you've seen both the board of supervisors of both counties come out and say so. He reached out to maybe to some select folks, but he's not coming on this tour to really listen and learn about what's going on in rural, more conservative California. He's using it as an opportunity to come lecture us and tell us how he has done all these great things for us. And the reality is his policies have been a total failure. I mean, for the entire state, but especially rural California. And you could start by just looking at his policy when it comes to energy. We rely on trucks to get our goods to market. We drive gas-powered cars and trucks. And the price of fuel has skyrocketed under his leadership. It's the price of electricity has skyrocketed under his leadership. And so, there's a reason why, one, he doesn't reach out to us because he doesn't want to hear the criticism of his policies. But we don't really want to stand next to him and act like there's been successes when there has been terrible failures for the people of our areas.
Well, you mentioned energy policy. Let's dive into that. So in October, PG&E launched its fourth rate hike this year. You've highlighted the fact that Californians pay some of the highest electricity bills in the nation. Why is that?
Well, let's start with Gavin has too close of a relationship with PG&E, and that's been very well documented. And his PUC appointees at the Public Utilities Commission continually approve rate increase after rate increase for PG&E. So there's one problem there. It's not enough oversight and accountability for utilities and these constant rate increases that are crushing people. But it's also a function of policy. And it's been Democratic controlled legislatures over the past 20 years and Jerry Brown and Gavin Newsom who support all of these policies. And what they've done is they've mandated, first of all, that power come from renewable sources. But they've defined renewable sources as really only two things, solar and wind. They don't really allow for a whole lot of other things. Some geothermal, they really don't allow for hydropower, for instance, large hydropower to count as renewable, which is a problem. And what it ends up doing is it requires the companies, utility companies, to buy very expensive power. When they do the procuring of power, it's much more expensive. And the initial run-up to doing industrial-sized solar for utilities was extremely expensive, and it led to our rates skyrocketing.
Well, what do you make of the state's clean energy goals in general? Some would say our climate change goals.
Well, look, the goal is a good one, and it's one that we agree with, that we should reduce emissions and that we should find ways to reduce our carbon footprint, right? But they have done it in the most expensive and unmanageable way. And what they've done is they've mandated that, hey, you have to buy certain, what they've labeled green energy. And they've made no real investments in what I would say is a full portfolio of energy. We do need natural gas. I mean, that's just a reality. And it's a reality we live with every year, every summer when we almost have blackouts. It's these peaker plants, natural gas plants, that keeps the lights on. So you are going to need to have a baseline of natural gas. It's actually cleaner burning with the technology that we have today. We can, I think, make investments in nuclear. It's much safer now. There's new technology out there. It's more affordable. We're about to shut down our last nuclear plant in California, Diablo Canyon, down in San Luis Obispo. And that will cut 10% of our power source in the state. How are we going to make up for that? You're not going to be able to do that on solar and wind alone. So we need to have better investments. And quite frankly, we need to find ways to make our energy more affordable because people are paying too much as it is already.
You're listening to Insight here on CAB Radio. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Assemblymember James Gallagher of District 3, the Republican minority leader in the state assembly. Assemblyman, let's talk about Sites Reservoir, the proposed water storage facility 14 miles west of Colusa. You recently called out Governor Newsom for dragging his feet on the building of that infrastructure, but the governor has also expressed dissatisfaction with project delays, and he approved a bill last year to streamline the project. That law enabled an appellate court to toss out a lawsuit that was holding up the Sites project. What specific steps do you believe the administration still needs to actually build the reservoir?
Well, Gavin is looking around acting like somebody else is responsible for the holdup. And the reality is, it's his agencies, his executive agencies, that are really the last stage of the process here. It's the Department of Fish and Wildlife who has to permit the project fully. And it's the Water Resources Control Board, of which he appoints all the members that need to give it a water rights permit. So there's already funding available for the project. Prop 1 passed 10 years ago. The voters voted for that. Almost $1 billion was allocated to the Sites project 2016, I believe it was, 2017. 8 years ago, I passed legislation that streamlined the construction of Sites Reservoir. And yes, recently, last year, he proposed legislation, and we in the legislature passed it, that would help with some of the court cases that might be brought against the project to delay it, to streamline the process. And that has worked to streamline. But the bottom line is the ball is still on his court. I think in his speech, he said something to the effect of like, well, we're waiting on the federal government. For what? You know, we're waiting on the state government. We're waiting on the state executive agencies. The feds have even come through with federal financing to help support the project. So there's a lot of things that have really been done, and the holdup, he acts like it's not, you know, like it's not in his court, but it really is. And that's what we're all asking. I mean, that's why people in Colusa and rural parts of California, farmers who need water, really the state who needs water, are all asking the same thing. Like, When are we going to start building this thing?
Let's switch gears to talk about the incoming Trump administration. You recently sent an open letter to President-elect Donald Trump asking for cooperation in solving California's problems, including energy and gas prices, crime and housing, and help with fighting wildfires. Can you walk me through your thoughts on penning that letter and what you think the incoming president could represent for California?
Yeah, I was really responding to Gavin Newsom, who started off by saying we're going to Trump-proof California. So started this relationship off by saying, hey, we're going to allocate millions of dollars of our taxpayer money that we need. You know, we're in a deficit. You know, we're facing structural deficits. He wants to allocate millions of dollars to government lawyers to sue Donald Trump before he's even taken office.
Well, to be fair, I mean, that's because Politico and others have reported that as President Trump made repeated threats to withhold federal emergency disaster relief to California for political reasons, that's one of many reasons that the governor and Democratic legislature have stated for wanting to, you know, so-called Trump-proof California. Do you have any concerns that that could happen again?
Well, no, it's not fair. It isn't fair because I represent Paradise. I was here when Donald Trump came to Paradise, met with local leaders. And when Gavin Newsom made each and every request for federal funding, Donald Trump came through each and every time. When the Oroville Dam disaster happened and the dam almost fell apart because of a failure to maintain that dam properly over many years by DWR, the federal government under Donald Trump came through with each and every request. So I've seen what the Trump administration does. They keep their word. They come through with the federal funding that we've needed during disasters. And it's just a ridiculous statement to say that he's not. Now, what he has said is that, hey, look, states have an obligation to do their part. Like, yeah, you should be maintaining your dams. You should be maintaining your forests to make sure they don't burn up and have 10-foot-tall piles of brush that are, you know, a bomb waiting to go off. Right. I mean, so like these are things that, yes, I think there should be an expectation, you know, that we do, and they're things that I've been calling for many years, and that, quite frankly, Gavin Newsom has dragged his feet on. You know, he said that we were going to do 500,000 acres a year in treatment, and then he was found, you know, by your program, actually, to have lied about how much he had actually treated. You know, so the one who's really failed, you know, in terms of implementing and on a matter of policy has been Gavin Newsom.
Well, the governor did recently highlight $62 billion in federal aid under the Biden administration for infrastructure and climate action since 2021. Presumably some of those dollars would go toward the wildfire relief prevention efforts that you're talking about. How do you view that support from the Democratic president and its impact on California?
Yeah, sure. I mean, those things are good, you know, but let's like actually put them to implementation. Some of that money actually is also for carbon capture technology, which I think would actually be really helpful. It actually would allow us to keep some of those natural gas plants burning, but lower the emissions by capturing the carbon. That's some of that federal investment that's coming in. We need to make sure that actually comes to fruition. There is some policy, actually, California policy, standing in the way of that. We still have restrictions on, for instance, building pipelines that could be part of that technology and really making it work. And the key part about that, this carbon capture technology and the things they're talking about is it allows us to keep energy costs more affordable. Very key thing when we're talking about the need to make sure that, you know, energy costs are lowered, that, you know, utility bills are lowered, that, you know, price of gas, that, you know, groceries, because everything that comes to your grocery store and that ends up on your plate gets trucked there by trucks. And Gavin Newsom, you know, wants to make everything go electric, which is very expensive. It's not very feasible. And, you know, a lot of these trucks can only go on 200-mile charges. So it means that, you know, a lot of delays in getting those products to market. If this were to really come to full fruition, it's going to be very problematic. But this is my problem is, you know, we hear these proclamations about how everything is going great and, you know, presentations in our district about how Gavin Newsom's policies are so good for us. We haven't seen it. You know, all we've seen is our costs go up. We've seen things get harder for us. We've seen more mandates, more regulation. Meanwhile, the criminals and the people who don't follow the laws seem to be able to do whatever they want. And so there's a lot of frustration. And, you know, from that standpoint, when it comes to how this governor has governed.
Assemblymember Gallagher, that's our time for today. Thank you very much for coming on Insight.
All right, thank you.
Assemblymember James Gallagher is the Republican Minority Leader of the State Assembly. His assembly district spans the counties of Butte, Glenn, Placer, Sutter, Tehama, and Yuba. For this segment, we reached out to Governor Newsom's office for comment on Site's reservoir and comments made by Assemblymember Gallagher. We did not receive a response. Coming up next, new data shows fentanyl deaths are declining in some areas but rising sharply in workplaces. We'll talk to a medical expert and a CalMatters reporter about what these trends mean for California. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Alan Young.